Godzilla is now in New York City.
Monster 01 and 02, commence the attack.
And welcome to another episode of Stomp This Way. We're back this week discussing something that Andrew and I watched for the first time. Finished watching it, watching it yesterday, and that would be the Skull Island
Netflix.
Anime? Question mark? Is it? This is an age-old question. They marketed this. I distinctly remember them marketing this as an anime. Now, this was made by white people, or at least I don't know if they were white. They were American people. So can you call it an anime? It's a Western cartoon.
It's not
inspired by anime.
Yeah, it's
much in the vein of Avatar, The Last Airbender.
It doesn't really feel like an anime.
It's very Westernized. I mean, it's you know, kind of like Avatar. It's kind of drawn sort of like an anime, and it's got a little bit of that anime-isms tropes to it, but it's very toned down, very Westernized. Your typical anime would be much more insane. So,
yes.
There are not enough people with unexplained powers and cat tails and cat ears for it to be an anime.
But there are like random side characters that pop out of nowhere.
Yeah, no, that is, you know, that is. But anyway, so yeah, today we are talking about Skull Island. So I'll do my normal production trivia here. This was developed by Brian Duffield. I put brain in my notes, but it is Brian, I'm pretty sure, who was a writer on both Love and Monsters and Underwater, two films we have reviewed. I mean, he wrote other things, obviously, but those are two films that we have reviewed on the podcast. Per Duffield, they have completed the script for the second season. However, they are still awaiting a green light, which is, you know, when they don't green light something almost immediately, it's kind of alarming.
Yeah.
At this point, the green light probably not going to happen, but who knows? Netflix does crazy things. And this was released on Netflix on June 22nd of 2023. So, yeah, you know, this was a show that, as I said, I believe in our previous podcast, I did not watch it when it came out, even though it was MonsterVerse and all that, because I just frankly didn't want to. I mean, there was nothing in the trailers that looked appealing. It looked like your very generic, you know, modern day cartoon. And I was just kind of like, nah, don't need it. What about you?
You know, I didn't even know when it was coming out. I hardly even saw the trailer for it until we watched it. Honestly.
Yeah, I think I had watched a trailer for it somewhere, but it just didn't appeal. So, yeah, I skipped it because I just, you know, didn't have Godzilla. If it had Godzilla in it, because, you know, I am a diehard Godzilla fan, and no matter how bad it is, I'll watch something if it has Godzilla in it. If it would have had Godzilla in it, I would have watched it, but I was like, I'm not going to suffer through this cartoon
just to get Kong as much.
A few scenes. I mean, I love Kong, but no, I'm not a Kong, you know, diehard fanboy, like, you know, worship the ground he walks on kind of Kong fan. I like Kong because I like giant monsters, and of course I love the original Kong film, and we reviewed all the Kong movies, and you can go and hear our thoughts and my thoughts about Kong. But yeah, I mean, it's not, you know, I'm not like obsessed in a like religious fanatical sort of sense like I am with Godzilla. Anyway, but yeah, so that's kind of where we're coming at from with this series. We sat down and watched it for the first time. You know, luckily for us, it's only 8 episodes. Most of the episodes are like 22 minutes or less. So they're really short, bite-sized pieces. You could watch the whole thing if you wanted to in about 2.5 hours. So it's not a big time commitment. But anyway, yeah, so some cast and crew. This was developed by Brian Duffield, written by Brian Duffield, music by Joseph Trapanese and Jason Lazarus, and starring Nicholas Cantu, Mae Whitman, Darren Barnett, Benjamin Bratt, Betty Gilpin, and Phil Lamar. But anyway, we're going to stop here. We're going to listen to a trailer, and then we'll come back. I'll read off my plot summary, and we'll talk about Skull. I almost said Kong Skull Island, but that's a different movie that we've already reviewed.
Yes.
We'll talk about Skull Island.
Where are we?
Skull Island.
That is a big monkey.
It's all my fault.
What?
I heard people talk about this old GI who had a stupid map and... So stupid! He even told us we died!
We're looking for the girl.
And now there's guns!
Are all boys as useless as you?
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm looking for my son.
Have you seen my dad?
Then you're looking for the girl, right?
Her best friend is a giant man-eating monster.
I am the monster.
Oh, come on!
We need to run, now!
To get off this island. You know what they should have called this place? Not Great Island.
All right, we're back. The plot summary that I wrote myself, with the help of Wikipedia a little bit, is as follows. When their boat is shipwrecked on Skull Island, Charlie, Mike, and Charlie's dad, Cap, must contend with the strange creatures of the island in order to survive. Joining them on the island is runaway Annie and her kaiju dog. Not, like, a dog. His name is Dog, with a capital D. And along with Annie's long-lost mother, Irene, and her team of mercenaries. After some adventures and infighting, the group comes together and realizes that they must find a way to kill the Kraken, a giant squid-octopus hybrid creature, in order to escape the island alive. And they must do so quickly, as Mike is slowly dying after being poisoned by the very same creature. In order to do so, the group tricks King Kong, self-appointed king of the island, into the water to fight the Kraken. After a hard-fought battle, Kong is victorious. And Annie is knocked unconscious, and she later awakens to find herself in a concrete jungle, as credits roll.
I guess we'll never find out if Mike made it.
We'll get to the end. I got some major issues with the end of this show, but we'll get to the end at a later point. But yeah, starting out, you know, like I said, I came to this show not really excited to watch it. I didn't expect much out of it. Even after its release, you know, there wasn't much chatter about it on the social media. I mean, I'd see some posts here and there, obviously, but, so, you know, I wasn't really expecting much. What about you?
I wasn't expecting much. I was just hoping it was going to be less science-driven than Singular Point was.
Yeah, coming off Singular Point, I mean, obviously there were some things that I was hoping could be done better, but, you know, we open up the show with a crew on a boat,
yes.
Like a lot of monster TV shows seem to do for some reason. And we are introduced to, let's see, we have Cap, the captain of the boat. He is Charlie's dad. And then our lead is Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie is a young, what do you say, he's 16, 17? 17. And, you know, there's this setup. It's kind of like this is their last boat trip together. They're on some kind of monster. His dad's obsessed with finding monsters or whatever.
One particular monster.
A monster he saw on a boat. Was it Godzilla? Maybe. We'll never find out. But Charlie's kind of done with the whole monster hunting thing, and he wants to go to college like a normal kid. And also on this boat are Mike, who is a Japanese kid, at least part Japanese, and his father, whose name I do not remember. But yeah, so they're the four of them on this boat. They're hunting kaiju. And then actually, the first scene in the anime is we are on a different boat. And we see this young girl, whose name we will find out is Annie, escape the boat with some men trying to grab her. But she gets on the little, like, you know, lifeboat or whatever and gets away. And later, Charlie will see her in the water and jump in the water and save her. And then some men will infiltrate their boat. And then as all this is going down, then these tentacles start coming out of the water and start grabbing people. And, you know, some people die. Mike's dad gets crushed by
a big tentacle.
There's the little squid tentacles, and then there's like the big purple octopus tentacles.
Mm-hmm.
I call the thing the Kraken because that's what it is, a Kraken. But I think based off Wikipedia's plot summary, I think its official name is also the Kraken. So look at me.
Hey.
I know things. And yeah, then they get shipwrecked. Their boat gets, you know, destroyed or whatever, sunk. We see Mike get zapped because apparently the Kraken can send out electrical shocks or whatever, which will be important later.
Yep.
And, you know, Charlie's dad is caught in a net. He's going to drown, but Annie saves him. And they get washed ashore on Skull Island. And yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, I mean, just to kind of quickly go through what happens. They get washed ashore. Annie and Charlie and Mike are kind of put in a group trying to survive on this island. And then Cap washes up in a different part of the island. He runs into this woman, Irene, and her team of mercenaries who are hunting down Annie. Mm-hmm. We'll find out way later in the show that she's rich. She's a rich woman.
Yeah.
Which is why she's hired this team of people. She's Annie's mom. Annie and her dad, I guess, we're off on like a father-daughter weekend yacht trip or something. It's never really explained in detail, but their boat is, I'm assuming it got caught in a storm or something, or maybe it got attacked by the Kraken, I don't know. It's flipped over upside down on this uninhabited island that's like a neighboring island to Skull Island, part of the same chain or whatever of islands. And her dad got killed by she has a kaiju friend, a dog, is basically her giant dog, although she keeps saying it's not her pet. But dog's mother killed
her father.
Or dog's father. I don't remember. Mother, father, whoever.
I think it was her mother. No,
I think she said father. Our fathers killed each other. But anyway, dog's parent kills her dad, but then her and dog was just a puppy. Her and dog hit it off and survived together on Annie's Island, as she calls it. And, you know, this show is basically about these kids trying to survive. Mike is, not only did he get shocked, he also got poisoned by the Kraken.
Oh, yeah.
And he's slowly getting sicker. And anyway, you know, time goes on. Eventually, the two groups come together. Mike at one, or Charlie at one point gets captured by a giant bird.
Yes.
And taken to Kong's throne room or whatever. But he escapes with the help of Dog. They were captured together. And, you know, Irene and Cap and Mike kind of learn to get along, and Annie is learning to trust her mom a little more. And anyway, Charlie makes his way back, and they figure out they need to get Kong to fight the Kraken. And so there's a backstory episode about how Kong had this girl, this Hispanic girl, I guess, that was on the island. Or she might have been a native. She was speaking Spanish, I think. So I don't know.
I think she was speaking native, Aaron.
But she was speaking Spanish. Maybe that was their substitute language for whatever. But anyway, she had this locket thing around her neck, and Kong was really good friends with her. And then she got killed by the whatever, and...
Well, Kong woke the Kraken.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah, Kong woke it on accident. And then, anyway, so she gets killed. They steal the locket. The current people do. Charlie goes and Annie go and steal the locket and make Kong chase him to the water. Mm-hmm. Kong gets into a big fight, kills the Kraken, and Annie's knocked unconscious, and then she wakes up in a city somewhere in a hospital with her mom, and that's the end of the show. But yeah, basically, you know, I was expecting Kong to be a big part of this show. The show is actually pretty Kong-light until the last two episodes.
Yeah.
He's basically, I think he makes his first cameo appearance in episode 3, and basically makes cameo appearances until he becomes a big part of the show in episode 7 and 8. Mm-hmm. But yeah, a lot of this show is
just character-driven.
Character-driven, with all these characters you're introduced to. But you know what? I'm going to go ahead and say, I think this show was a pleasant surprise.
Oh, yeah.
We have, I think, almost a perfect size cast for what they're trying to do here. We have, you know, of course, our two, you know, our three leads, as I'll call them, Charlie, Mike, and Annie, all about 17. Mm-hmm. And a great thing that all the characters in this show have, the leads and, you know, the quote-unquote bad guys. Turns out that nobody's really the bad guy in this show, human-wise anyway. Everyone has a personality, which is a lot more than I can say for singular point characters who had no personality, except for maybe the old man.
The old man, the most personality.
But no, they all have personalities. You know, I like especially Charlie and Mike's and Annie's banter back and forth and all their quips and whatever else, and they're very energetic.
Mm-hmm.
I like the slow discovery of Irene as, oh, actually her mom, which, I mean, Andrew guessed it long before show revealed it. But, and I think the Cap does a good job as kind of the calming force between everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's some, you know, for a cartoon, decent drama with Mike's dad getting squashed at the beginning. So there's, you know, Mike's having a hard time. Right. He's also poisoned. He's so he's also starting to feel sick. And then they're trying to reunite with Charlie's dad. A lot of parent drama. Annie is trying to deal with her estranged mother. Mm-hmm. All of this. And then I like the stuff with Irene, her mom, you know, trying to come to terms with her daughters all grown up, and she missed all that. And, you know, I mean, again, they don't really dig deep into all this stuff. It's all kind of surface level, but at least it's there.
It's there.
And Irene has she's having a relationship with one of her mercenaries, Sam. Yes. The rest of the mercenaries, I think, get killed off, or most of the rest of them.
No, there's that one other girl that was still there.
Yeah, I think there was a couple left alive at the end. Yeah, so, you know, I like this stuff, and just their kind of adventures going through, fighting different kaiju on the island.
But the ending was something.
Yeah, well, you know, and another thing is, you know, I think something interesting, you know, they don't really dive too deep into it, because this is ultimately a show aimed at preteen boys, I think.
Yeah.
So it keeps it really fast, but, you know, like I said, very short episodes, it keeps mm-hmm. it very fast-paced, only 8 episodes long, so you don't ever have time to get bored or... It never wears out as welcome, which I think is really good.
Yes.
You know, you have a kind of a love triangle going on. You know, they never, and sometimes I read maybe too much into stuff, but I think they meant for you to do this. They never come out and say it, but there's several conversations about how Charlie likes all girls mm-hmm. and Mike is not interested in any girls. I think there is a undertone of that Mike is potentially gay. Because he, like I said, not interested in any girls. And he is very torn up about the fact that Charlie is going to college. And then, of mm-hmm. course, Charlie is infatuated with Annie. Who, you know, if I had to pick a least favorite character, it would probably be Annie. Because she's your kind of prototypical modern Hollywood, like, kick butt, can do no wrong, always right, strong female character. Basically no character flaws other than she can't trust people, which is like the most basic character flaw and like ever. But I think they give her a tragic enough backstory and she's quippy enough to kind of offset that.
Yeah.
And you know, it kind of bothered me because at first you didn't know her backstory and sometimes she acted like she didn't really understand English that well. And other times she seemed to speak it just fine. Now, of course, it's revealed that she was an American. I'm assuming they're American or whatever.
She doesn't understand English very well, Aaron, because she was stranded on the island.
She was a young girl when her dad died by herself. I don't think they're very consistent with that, because she doesn't, at times she doesn't understand big words, but then other times she seems really caught up on the new age lingo and stuff. So, you know, it's kind of whatever, but I get over it. But other than that, you know, yeah, I like all this stuff. And like I said, again, it's pretty amazing that I'm as entertained as I am by this show, considering that there is no Kong really much to speak of until episode 7, and no Godzilla to speak of at all, which I think is a real, you know, a real good thing that I can say about this show. It says a lot about this show that I was having fun without a whole lot of familiar monsters making appearances.
There were monsters throughout this whole show, though.
I mean, there were monsters. There was, you know, they had like the, of course, the Kraken is the main villain of the show.
And then the,
there's a crocodile thing at some point.
There's a skull crawler.
There's a skull crawler in one episode. There's crabs. The evil geckos.
The crabs.
There's a turtle aloe plant mix thing walking around at some point.
Yeah, and there's dog.
Dog.
You say the bird.
The bird. The phoenix-looking bird.
So there's a lot of things.
Yeah, and then let's talk about episode 7 real quick. So episode 7 I found kind of interesting because, you know, like I said, at one point the Irene and her mercenaries, like, tricked Annie and her dog out into the open, and the bird grabs the dog and they trank Annie. Well, Charlie is hiding in the bushes or whatever. Charlie and Mike are. And Mike and Charlie think that Cap is being held hostage at this point. So Mike decides he's going to go out and tells Charlie to stay behind and save him later or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Charlie ends up getting cornered by a native and then picked up by the bird or whatever. So we see a locket while he's in Kong's throne room or whatever.
Yes.
That Kong seems fond of. But anyway, so in episode 7, the first real episode about Kong, we get, it's a flashback episode where I don't know how far in the past this is. Not really. I'm assuming it's after. So the Skull Island movie, Kong Skull Island, took place in the early, in like the early 70s, mid 70s, whatever. It's during like the tail end of the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm.
And then this movie takes, or this show takes place sometime in the 90s, is what I read. Mm-hmm. So
a few years.
About two decades later. I don't know when this flashback is taking place. I'm going to assume probably after Skull Island, the movie, Kong Skull Island, but obviously sometime before this show. And it's, like I said, this about Kong and this girl that was on the island he was very fond of. And Kong gets into a fight with these, like I said, giant gecko creatures. I think the scene would have worked better because, you know, you keep thinking, okay, this girl's got to die eventually. And she keeps, like, you're like, oh, she's going to die right here when she's falling off the cliff. Or, oh, the thing's got her. She's going to die right here. Oh, she's falling again. The thing's going to get her. I think it would have worked better because Kong starts this fight. He instigates this fight. She tells, like, he gets a big rock and she tells him, no, don't do it. And he drops the rock on the gecko anyway and starts this big melee. If she would have died as a direct result of this fight, get to give the show a little more emotional heft, and oh, Kong is directly responsible for her death.
But I think the way they do it turns out pretty well, because he already feels bad because he made that big scene and got her all mad at him. And
yeah, and he very indirectly, this whole shenanigan does cause her death because he's bleeding from the fight.
Mm-hmm.
He walks into the water, and then his blood wakes up the Kraken. And then the Kraken will later, while the native girl and some of the other natives are out fishing on their little canoes or whatever, will come alive and kill a bunch of the natives, which angers Kong. At first, I was like, did it kill all the natives? Is this the real story of how? I don't know. In Godzilla versus Kong, they had something, said some drop line about there was a perpetual storm now that killed most of the natives or whatever. But for a while, I was like, I thought, are all the natives dead? But there's still some natives
still alive
in the main story of this show. So, no, I guess not. But
it just killed off his girlfriend.
But it did kill off his little girlfriend. And I don't know how he... I told Andrew, I was like, I don't know how with his giant fingers he got this little locket and like hung it up on his wall all like he did, but whatever, he did.
Hey, he was very fond of that.
He was very fond of that girl.
He even buried her on the hill.
He took his hand and scooped out a handful of dirt and then buried her in on a hill. It was kind of sad. But, yeah, so I thought that was a very interesting episode. And then, of course, their plan is Charlie goes and gets that locket with Annie, and they tick Kong off and lure him to the sea.
They're really mean to a lot of kaiju in this movie,
yeah,
in this show.
Because Kong is smart enough to know that he probably can't beat the Kraken in the water, and the Kraken is smart enough to know he can't beat Kong
on land.
So the Kraken, like, one of my favorite scenes in the show is the Kraken just takes a whale. Like, you just, at one point in the show, you just see a whale like floating across the sky. It's like, what's going on? But the Kraken had taken a whale and just chunked it across the island into Kong's throne room, which was pretty great, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to lure Kong out into the ocean. But yeah, so we have the final episode, and they, you know, Kong gets lured out into the sea, gets into a big fight with this Kraken, who at least in, I don't think the scale is very consistent, but at least in some frames looks significantly bigger than Kong.
Yeah.
And of course, Kong and him go back and forth, and Annie gets kind of, and her and Dog get kind of caught up in the fight. And of course, the waves are, water's coming in because of the big kaiju fighting, and she gets washed out to sea. And Kong eventually, it's kind of funny because he thinks he kills the Kraken like three times, and it keeps coming back alive. To life until he finally just like rips it in half.
Creates a big tidal wave.
Yeah. And then Annie, like, she's trying to get Dog to, like, she's on a rock and she's trying, Dog's kind of struggling to get to her. And then she gets, like, they finally get back to the beach and then, like,
Kong gets him and puts him back on the beach.
Yeah, and then the thing comes back one more time, and it creates a big tidal wave. And then she, like, slams her head against a tree or something when the tidal wave washes in. And then, yeah, the ending really bothered me. Because, like I said, I was pretty invested in Charlie and Mike. I really liked their characters.
And they just dropped.
And I really wanted to know, do they save Mike? Mike was in pretty bad shape. He was looking pretty rough.
They just dropped him.
And the whole thing was... The reason they were doing this is because they had to do it right then to try to get Mike to a hospital. Yeah, and the show just ends like she gets knocked unconscious. She wakes up. She's in a hospital. And then, of course, she figures, she's like, where's Dog? We don't even figure out what happened to Dog. She wakes
really
up.
Don't really figure out anything, Aaron.
And she's like, oh, well, where am I? She looked out the window. Of course, she's, I don't know, in New York City or somewhere. And cut to credits.
They've been gone for, it's been.
She's been out for two weeks.
So it's been 2 weeks since they've been on the island.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, they with that ending, they were expecting to make a sequel, which is fine. But one of my big things with movies and TV shows nowadays is I believe that within, even if you're planning on making sequels, within a movie or within one season of a show, you should tell a complete story. And having a cliffhanger is fine, setting up a new and the next big thing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you should complete your story. And this is a total, like... What happened to everybody? I don't know.
I don't know.
Especially, like, it's kind of dubious, kind of in question right now as to whether they're going to get a second season.
We might never know what happened to
Mike.
I
mean, honestly, yeah, that was my biggest issue. It was like, well, what happened to everybody else? Did Mike survive? Is Charlie going to college? Like, what are we doing here?
Is Dog dead?
Is Dog dead? What happened to Dog? I figure if I was a guessing man... I'm going to say probably the second season would be about, I'm sure Mike probably survived, but Charlie, they probably didn't recover Dog in the second season, because what are you going to do for a second season? I mean, they would probably be like, oh, well, we got to go see if Dog's still alive, and they'd probably go back to the island to find Dog or something, if I was guessing, like I said, because I doubt they're going to have a whole show and... the city, because that would really mess with the continuity of the rest of the shows.
Other than bring Kong to the city.
Bring Kong to the city. Well, like I said, that'd kind of really mess with the continuity of the rest of the MonsterVerse if they want to try to say this is in the MonsterVerse. So I doubt they would do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's the show. But yeah, like I said, a pleasant surprise. You know, I was going in expecting the worst of the worst, honestly. Very low expectations. But I came out thinking, honestly, this might be my... the best. It might just box out Gamma Rebirth for my favorite, like, what do you want? How do I say that? Current generation of kaiju TV shows. Like, and by that, I mean everything starting probably with Godzilla, Planet of the Monsters on forward as kaiju cartoons. Because, yeah, I mean, even Gamma Rebirth, you know, the plot got kind of, one of the animation CG, I've covered that ad nauseum. But, and then even at the end of the Rebirth, the plot kind of got really weird with the ancient civilization using child blood to control monsters or something. I don't remember. But
at least it had a plot.
I mean, Rebirth was obviously, like I said, I mean, it was a big improvement over Singular Point, which I couldn't follow at all. And didn't care about any of the characters.
You gave Rebirth like a B plus, didn't you?
I gave it a B, I think. I gave it a B.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure I gave it a B. I think you gave it a B plus.
Yeah.
What did you give it?
I think a B plus.
Or an A minus. I don't remember.
I thought.
But yeah. But anyway, point is, I like this show.
Mm-hmm.
I like this show. Overall. Which is nice. Because, you know, maybe it's benefiting from really low expectations.
Probably a little bit.
But it's always good when, no matter how low your expectations are, it's good when something exceeds your expectations. And this definitely exceeded my expectations. So, yeah. Especially considering that it was pretty Kong-light for most of it. I mean, no Godzilla and pretty light on Kong action until the last two episodes. So, yeah. You want to talk about some creature design?
Sure.
Well, let's talk about, what do we got? We got the Kraken.
The Kraken.
The Kraken, which is
a Kraken.
A Kraken. It's got squid tentacles and octopus tentacles.
The squid tentacles shock you when you get...
Yeah, they shock you, and when you get shocked, you get poisoned. And it's got, at the final episode, it's got this big, you know, head with kind of like the typical squid beak thing, and big and scary, and, you know, all that good jazz.
Oh, yeah.
There's a crocodile creature at one point. It's basically like an albino-looking crocodile with yellow glowing eyes.
A little bit bigger than your average.
Bigger, obviously. There's the bird, the phoenix-looking bird that's kind of like a red bird that we see in episode 7, that him and Kong, the bird and Kong and the girl had like this symbiotic relationship. The bird and the bird would get critters and drop it off and feed them to Kong, I guess, so that Kong wouldn't kill the bird or whatever. But they seemed like they were pretty good friends.
I mean, the bird perches on Kong's arm.
Kong's arm at one point. It's like his personal hawk, yeah. But the bird is pretty cool. Like the bird. Yeah. What else we got? We got the gecko things, which are basically maybe not quite I mean, they look like geckos, or maybe whatever, those lizards that shoot blood out of their eyes, whatever they are, chameleons. Or maybe they're more like chameleons instead of geckos. I think chameleons is what I'm trying to say. You know, they change colors. I like when, you know, they're getting pounded on, like they're flipping through all the colors or whatever.
And their tongue, they have... Big
tongue, of course,
tongues.
The typical like lizard tongue that goes way out and catches things. They fought hard. They just wouldn't go down easy.
I mean, you could stab one through the chest and it still keeps on going.
There's a skull crawler, which looks like an animated skull crawler.
There's the aloe vera turtle.
There's the aloe turtle. At one point, they like they get some of this like the spikes off the aloe turtle and put like the aloe vera oil on Mike, and they're like, "Oh, this will help." I'm like, "Aloe vera cures everything." Of course, it didn't cure him, but it did slow it down, I think. So
slightly,
even if it's off a turtle's back. But anyway,
well, they didn't get it off the turtle.
They didn't kill the turtle.
They found it on the ground.
They found it on the ground. PETA can rest easy. And the crabs.
The giant
blue crabs, basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, like the creature. The creature blue crab, not that they're blue in color, except for their face or whatever.
They had like sand. They had like trapdoor crabs. Things.
Yeah, and they had the little, I don't know, roly-poly bugs that looked like rocks that they would pick up and chunk at things.
Yep.
The giant ant thing or whatever, he fell into an anthill at one point.
Yeah. Dog.
Dog is a...
It looks like a big English bulldog.
Yeah, kind of like a lion crossed with an English bulldog, maybe. And giant, obviously. It's big enough for two or three of them to ride on its back.
Yeah.
So, there's dog. There's, And, of course, there's Kong.
There's Kong.
Kong is King Kong. He's your pretty basic animated King Kong.
Big ape.
Big old ape, yep. So, yeah.
Yeah.
There's the critters. overall, I think, you know, for a cartoon, it's pretty good. Everything pretty looks pretty good. I don't have really any complaints with anything, the design of anything.
No.
Animation, I mean, the animation, again, is 2D animation, which is a big plus for me. You know, I'm glad they aren't doing that 3D. I mean, they're, you know, even in a singular point, like the creatures were, even the human characters were your typical cell drawn animation, but the creatures were
3D.
The 3D models. And this is, as far as I could tell, everything, all hand drawn. I mean, we're not talking like, you know, Studio Ghibli quality or even like Demon Slayer quality animation here, but it's more than serviceable.
Yeah.
More than serviceable. I mean, I think it looks awkward in a couple of scenes, but overall, it looks really good. So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
And then a score. I think the score is pretty typical of what you would think for this kind of show. Works just fine. It's no complaints there. It is there. So overall, yeah.
Not a bad show.
Not a bad show at all. You ready to get into final thoughts?
Why not?
Well, why don't you start us off?
All right. Final thoughts. Well, the show overall I thought was a pretty good show. I think I'll rank it above Singular Point, and it's pretty good contender for best show watched with the Gamma Show.
Yeah.
But, you know, effects were good, better. I liked them better than Singular Point and the Gamma Show.
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah.
It's the best one. Score is there. It's fits perfectly with the show that you're watching. It
doesn't distract from anything.
Doesn't distract from anything at all. Yeah. Not out of place at any parts.
Yeah, that's right.
Characters actually have easy to follow backstories and plots to them.
And story arcs and motivations. You can follow all of it.
You can follow
it. It's a miracle.
Somebody actually put a little work into
Somebody
it.
Somebody didn't overcomplicate things.
Unlike some shows.
Unlike some shows.
And, you know, the creature design's pretty good, you know. The Kong looked like pretty typical
King Kong.
King Kong. And the Kraken looked pretty cool with the tentacles and shocky things.
Shocky things.
Shocky things. And, you know, the Phoenix. I thought the Phoenix looked pretty cool, the bird.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, can't forget about that aloe vera turtle.
An aloe vera turtle.
This keeps coming back.
It was a multicolored aloe vera plant, too. It's like a rainbow-colored aloe vera.
And, you know, I think the only thing I'm going to give this show a B+.
A B+. Yeah, like I said, I really enjoyed the show, too. I was quite surprised because I was really not looking forward to it. But I'm glad to see. That's why we need to do this podcast. So I watch things that I would not otherwise bother to watch. Because, yeah, this is actually, you know, I was thinking about it. One of my favorite, probably, MonsterVerse projects in general. You know, I'm thinking, you know, it's better than King of the Monsters, the movie. You know, I mean, it's right up there with the other feature films of the MonsterVerse, I think. And like I said, of all the kaiju-related cartoons and animated movies that we've had since, you know, since this Reiwa era or whatever you want to call it, this new Hollywood era. Yeah, it might be the best. I mean, I think it's better than the anime trilogy, obviously. Better than Singular Point, like we've talked about. Right there with Rebirth, Gamma Rebirth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, I could say positives and negatives that about both shows. But, yeah, it's just, I keep getting caught up on that ending. If they would have stuck the landing, this would easily be my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
That abrupt ending where I don't figure out what happened to the two characters that I like the most is a little bothersome. So yeah, I'm going to stick with the B right there in line with Gamma Rebirth. So, but yeah, I mean, that's for me, I think that's a pretty good, a pretty good grade. I was expecting coming in to give the show like a C or C minus if I would have been guessing.
You're a little bit more strict on the grading than I am.
Yeah. You know, I'm a harsh critic, some have said. But yeah, so you know what? My basic review though is if you like the MonsterVerse stuff, if you like kaiju stuff, this show is definitely worth checking out. Goes down easy, quick and painless. For a TV show, check it out on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's definitely, you know, it's definitely worth it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, some news.
Ooh.
I'm going to start with some sad news. Sad news is that I believe either was it today or late yesterday it was announced that we're recording this on Saturday night. It was announced that Kenpachiro Satsuma, most famous to kaiju fans for playing the Heisei era Godzilla, has passed away at the age of 76. Oh, it's really sad. You know, a lot of fans are kind of so-so on the Heisei era of Godzilla films. You know, I think probably mostly because nostalgia reasons, because I grew up watching them on repeat. Like, I grew up watching all Godzilla movies on repeat that were out when I was young. Mm-hmm. I have a real soft spot for the Heisei era. I actually quite like, you know, when I did my rankings of the Godzilla films, I put several of the Heisei films way up there. And I think that Satsuma did really good, great job playing Godzilla. You know, he took kind of the foundation that Haru and Nakajima had built and, you know, really made it his own, but did a great job playing Godzilla. And, you know, and some of the interviews and documentaries I've watched with him, he seemed like he was a very interesting guy, too, in his personal life. So, very energetic. So, you know, it's a sad day in Godzilla fandom. He will be missed. But anyway, on a brighter note for Godzilla fandom, just a quick box office update that I've been doing weekly on Minus One. I went and saw it for the fifth time today. I may have a problem.
A little bit.
I still love it. Still love it. Still a great movie. I appreciate it. I think I appreciate something else about it every time I go and see it.
I've seen it three times.
Andrew's seen it three times. He's done his duty as a Godzilla fan. But it expanded again to 2,600 theaters this weekend. Of course, it's got new competition with Wonka coming out. But it made, I believe, about $1.3 million on Friday. It's projected to do between $4.5 and $5.5 million this weekend. Crossed the $30 million point in the U.S. Mm-hmm. Past one of the Dragon Ball movies. I think it was
the Broly.
One of the Broly movies as the sixth highest grossing Japanese film in American box office history. And it was already the highest grossing live action Japanese film. So I don't know what the other five are. Obviously the Demon Slayer movie is probably number one, I would assume. Probably the original Pokemon movie.
Yeah.
I figure is up there. Maybe first two Pokemon movies. Maybe another Dragon Ball movie. I don't know.
Maybe
a One Piece movie. I don't know. But yeah, but it's doing really good. That's my point. And it looks like they're not ready to take it out of theaters anytime soon. So hopefully it'll stay open through the Christmas weekend and maybe get a bit of a Christmas boost.
Remember when it was supposed to be a short time release?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of special movies like this, they give it a 1 week release window and then they just kind of see how it does. Mm-hmm. And of course, they'll keep extending it, and as long as it is profitable for them to keep it out in theaters. And since they're not really running a marketing campaign, it doesn't really cost them anything except, I don't know exactly how all those work, what the distributor fees are and all that, but, you know.
As long as it's covered,
and they're not using a distributing partner. So, yeah, as long as the theater chains are willing to keep it in the theaters, which it also helps that because of the actor strike and the writer strike, movies are kind of thin right now. Of course, they'll have more competition again next week with the release of Aquaman. God help us. But then after Aquaman, I mean, I think the release slate is pretty light until you get into like March and April. So maybe they'll keep it for a few more weeks, really, you know, see how long this thing can keep some legs on it. And if you, like I said, if you haven't seen it, you need to get out and see it, sure. And if you've seen it and you loved it like we did and you got the financial means in which to do so, you should go and see it again.
As
many times as you can stomach it, in fact. Keep supporting it. You know, I went and saw it again today, the 150 showing, and it was still, you know, I mean, again, they have it in the small auditorium, but again, I mean, there was fair number of people in there, so people are still going out and watching it, and the audience seemed to be enjoying it, so that's always a good thing.
Yeah.
Always a good thing. The theater employees may start looking at me weird if I keep going and watching it, but hey, you know, I still haven't seen it. I think my record for one movie is Force Awakens, which I believe I saw 8 times in theaters, you know. Which, you know, I really loved Force Awakens. Not to turn this into a Star Wars podcast, but I really loved Force Awakens. like, I don't know, maybe a little bit of that Phantom Menace syndrome people talk about, where I was in love with it when I saw it the first time. Since its release, I have cooled down on it a little bit, but I still think it's a fun kind of, you know, glorified remake of A New Hope. It's definitely probably the best thing that Star Wars since Disney took over, at least in the films. So, but I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. Anyway, what else was I going to talk about? Oh, yeah, schedule update. So, I was recently reminded through a Google search that we can't even... I don't think there's a physical media release, at least not in the States, for Shin Kamen Rider yet, but it is available on Amazon Prime, which we, of course, have Amazon Prime, because what would we do without two-day shipping? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I have no idea. I don't know how we did it before two-day shipping, like in the dark ages when we had to wait... Four days for a package to get here. Oh. How did we do that? I don't even know. But anyway, so I added that to the schedule. So next week is Shin Ultraman, right? Yes.
Yes.
Next week is Shin Ultraman, and then the week after that, I believe I put Shin Kamen Rider, and then after that,
who knows?
I don't know. I don't know exactly. I've been debating. I've been thinking about what movie. Of course, you know, listeners, I mean, I know some of you have before we ended the podcast, you sent in some movie suggestions. If you have a movie that we haven't covered that's giant monster related, I'll put that caveat. Of course, send it in and we'll try to get through it as fast as we can. But I've got a whole list of potential movies. I was debating whether I wanted to go back to our old format of doing a franchise and then, you know, every other week doing a random movie. Or if I just wanted to kind of wing it. I think we might hold off on the franchises for a little bit. I don't think I want to commit myself to a franchise right now. Because there are a lot of movies that I would kind of just like to do, you know.
Yeah.
So, and of course, we've got a lot of news. You know, it's not like it was when we quit the podcast and we had nothing new to talk about. There's all kinds of new stuff. Of course, coming up not too long, we're going to do a wrap-up episode on Ultraman Blazar, which I think has about 3 weeks. So actually, that might work out perfectly. We might do that the week after Shin Kamen Rider. I don't think, unless they have like a break week in between, because I believe it has 3 episodes left.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do a wrap-up episode on that. We will have a movie for that show in February, late February, I believe. And then, of course, the Godzilla X Kong movie coming out in April. I don't remember when it comes out, but that new Netflix Ultraman cartoon.
Another
movie.
New one.
You know, I showed you the trailer for that, didn't I? That movie where like the egg hatches and he's got to take care of the kaiju baby or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Ultraman Rising, I think it's called. I wasn't too blown away by the trailer. It looked a little MCU-y. It
looked a little weird.
I didn't like the talking Ultraman, but we'll see. Maybe I'll be surprised like I was for this cartoon.
Yeah.
So we'll have to review that when it comes out, obviously. I ordered a bootleg. me and Andrew have watched Zone Fighter before on the internet, through dubious means, but I ordered a DVD copy of it. So, you know, there's only 26 episodes. It's a one-off show, because it's really the other than that Monster Island toy TV show. It's really the only thing that Godzilla plays a major part in that we have not reviewed. Other than that anime where Ice Godzilla shows up for like 3 minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
And we might have to hunt that down and review that. Although, I think it's like the fifth movie in a long-running anime franchise, so we'd have no idea what's going on. But
we might have a binge-watching thing.
Have to have a big binge-watching episode, of course. And then, of course, Yamazaki, as I think is his name, the director of Minus One, Godzilla does show up for like 30 seconds in one of his other movies in a dream sequence. So it's Always Sunset 2, which is actually out here. It's supposed to be a pretty good movie if I could find it. But yeah, so like I said, if you have any suggestions, send them in. A couple of listeners have sent us emails since we've come back to the show. I always love hearing from the listeners, so always feel free to write into the show. I'm sorry if my responses are kind of corny. But I always try to respond to our listener emails because I feel like if they took the time to write us, you know, we're a pretty small podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It is the least I could do to respond to their emails and thank them for writing in. Thank them for listening to the show because we do honestly appreciate it. It's your listening that keeps motivating us to keep doing this show.
No people actually care.
Because if nobody cared, then doing the show wouldn't be that much fun. No. So, yeah. Anyway, I think that's all I've got for you today. Like I said, join us next week. We're going to be covering Shin Ultraman, which was come out last year? Early last year, I believe? This is early this year. I think it might have been in January this year.
Which one?
Shin Ultraman. Yeah. I think it was January of this year.
It seems so long
ago. It does seem so long ago. Maybe it was January of last year. But...
because we were the only ones in that theater watching.
Yeah,
that.
They did a two-night event, I think.
Yeah.
I was really shocked. We'll talk about it when we get next week. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so yeah, I think that's all we got for you this week. As always, you know, you can contact us at Stomp. Send in those movie suggestions to stompthisway1954@gmail.com. Andrew, we have a website. Do you remember what that website is?
stompthisway.wordpress.com.
That's right over there. I mean, it's not much, but you can see the upcoming schedule, at least for the next couple of weeks, an About Us page, and then the posts for our recent episodes. So check that out. And then other than that, that's all we got. So as always, I'm Aaron.
I'm Andrew.
And we'll see you in the next one.